are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this August 15th, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us. And man, it wouldn't be 2 o'clock in Auburn if it wasn't raining, and it is pouring outside in Auburn Opelika. So if you are out driving around, be careful. Make sure to keep both hands on the wheel, both eyes on the road, and the radio dial kept right here on ESPN 106.7. It's free-for-all Friday, ladies and gentlemen, and it is going to be a free-for-all show here today. Before we tell you about it, get into content and all that good stuff, my man Christian Griffin, how are you, sir? Happy Friday.
I'm doing well, man. Happy Friday. It's not quite game week.
No.
But it's game week, baby.
Yeah, it's
high school football is this time next Friday at Lee Scott Academy and Auburn High School. And, man, we are pumped up. We talked about it yesterday of we hope that next week you'll feel a more of that rush, that game day feel. I don't know about you. I woke up with it today. And it was a blast, man, being able to think about it. I went back and watched some of the game highlights from last year and just some of the calls, some of the moments. And, man, I'm ready to get back in that press box, as I know you are, with Rob Payton, Jack Hudden. My buddy Rhett Crum will be with me over on Lee Scott Academy as well. But really, really excited for that. Really excited for a free-for-all Friday show as well. I mean, a plethora of topics. There's so much to talk about in the sports world today, whether it's Auburn, whether it's not. We're going to talk about Auburn's top 25 games. There's only four of them, according to the Week 1 AP Top 25 poll. Two are at home and two are on the road. Which of those games or which of those games throughout the entire season for Auburn are unacceptable to lose? That'll give us another chance to dive into this Auburn schedule. Also, some news elsewhere in college football in terms of Michigan and that whole scandal working its way to fruition. And you feel like there's, you know, that little bendy ruler that every teacher had. You slap them on the wrist and, okay, there you go. Now go back outside and go play your recess.
Bad Michigan.
Yes.
Bad.
Don't do it again. Otherwise, don't make me count to three. One and a half.
I'm not going to take your Xbox away, but what you did was wrong.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to talk about that here today. The ESPN Bowl projections are out as well. Where does Auburn sit? Where do some other schools in the SEC sit? Are there any surprises? We're going to be able to dive in to all of that before we get to our favorite Lane Kiffin and his favorite hobby on social media, trolling Auburn once again. But we have to sit here and remind everybody, man, don't let him get by with it because of a similar game and a similar situation that he had in Jordan-Hare Stadium not too long ago. All of that in hour number one before we get to our SEC betting guide that the ESPN website released. Man, some of the changes we should make. Maybe a JG or a CG guarantee somewhere in there. All of that in hour number two. We're talking about the uniform matchups in Waco. We're talking about some FedEx Cup playoffs. It is a true free-for-all Friday, and we are looking forward to getting into it. But the phone lines are open here throughout the entire show for those that are just joining us, for those that are kind of picking up with us once again now that it's football season. Free-for-all Friday is exactly what it sounds. You can see with the rundown. We have our rundown, but if there's anything on your mind, anything that you would like to talk about, the phone lines are are open for all 2 hours of the show, and you can give us a call at 334-321-1390. Again, that number, 334-321-1390. The text box is always open as well. If there's just any quick hitters, any one-off questions, anything that you would like for us to answer, that number is 334-784-1067.
We've already got a text in there on the text box. John in Auburn says, in quotations, 24% chance of rain today. All right. Sure.
It's about the percentage of chance that Buford got a flag called on him last night.
I mean, that was goodness. Ugly football last night. That looked like week one of high school football, man. That was rough at times. Buford, I think I saw somewhere where they were technically like 10.5-point favorites or something like that.
Yeah, they should have won by 3 touchdowns.
Oh, yeah, they should have. They didn't, but they should have. And when you get 16 penalties for 150-something yards, I just pray that our two teams don't look like that a week from today. Because, on the national stage, that's not really the performance you were looking for.
No, but you snap a 25-game win streak for Milton. That was their one loss that Buford had last year, and I know Coach App pretty well. Again, I'm a Buford High School graduate, so I know a bunch of those guys relatively well, and I'm sure that Coach App wishes that week two could be on ESPN national TV, because I know how he works. I know how his system is. I would not be surprised for week two to look like a completely different team, but if you're going to have a week, why not have that as week one, right? You learn so much more about yourself. Some of the biggest improvements are from week one to week two, and so with the GHSA starting a week before, man, I was happy to be able to sit down and watch my boys play.
Well, speaking of week one, we'll have some exciting updates on the show for next week and throughout high school football season with the two teams that we get to cover each and every week. And we'll get to tell you more about some guest appearances on the show throughout football season early next week. But let's talk about Auburn. As we have seen the AP Top 25, we've had it out since Monday. So we've had this week to kind of look at it and digest it and also get to look at what the future schedules look like. And for Auburn, you only have 4 top 25 games on the schedule. And I say only, right? God, dude, that is a wall of rain right now. If you are out and about, if you're in the car, please be careful. Because it's bad. It's not supposed to last long. But it's always raining between 2 and 4. Anyway, this is a summer that it's never stopped raining in Auburn.
We went like a week without it raining, and so now it was always just a sprinkle for about 8 minutes. Now this is making up for all the lost time.
The flood. But anyway, Auburn has 4 top 25 games on the schedule as of right now, right? You have 2 at home, 2 on the road, and you look at this schedule, and I want to ask you this first, Christian. Your top 25 games, or I guess I should say games against top 25 teams.
Sure.
At Oklahoma, at Texas A&M, home versus Georgia, and home versus Alabama. When the season begins, Auburn will have 4 games against top 25 teams on its schedule. Will that number increase or decrease? When we look back on the schedule at the end of the season, how many top 25 opponents will Auburn have played?
6.
You think 6?
I do. I think the 4 that are ranked right now, I think they will stay ranked. I think Baylor makes its way into the top 25, and I think Missouri, when Auburn plays them, will be a top 25 team as well.
Okay, that I was about to kind of clarify on how many actual top 25 teams Auburn will play that particular week.
5. Okay. Then, with Baylor working its way and hopefully with your record, you're looking at it, okay, look, we ended up beating another top 25 team, obviously with the Baylor Bears just outside right now.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. I really do, because, look, Arkansas, Kentucky, Vanderbilt most likely are not going to be ranked, especially at the end of October and into the month of November. Baylor and Missouri are the 2. Baylor won't be ranked when Auburn plays them. Missouri absolutely could be ranked. We've talked about that team being 5-1 when they come to Jordan-Hare. That has a chance to be a really, really good football game and a really important football game for both sides. Let's say Auburn's 4-2, Missouri's 5-1. All of a sudden, you're talking about two teams whose playoff hopes are all but still alive.
I mean, yeah, that's the 4 o'clock ESPN middle of the afternoon Saturday game that everybody is going to watch to get you to that nightcap. That's Missouri's first road game of the season, which is absolutely insane to think about. And then, yeah, whether that's Georgia coming or Auburn coming off a big win against Georgia, possibly licking their wounds if you try and win one of those three in that middle slate of your schedule. But, yeah, what a game October 18th could and should end up being for this Auburn team.
And so a question that you proposed about this schedule, about this season, for what Auburn is trying to do. We've talked about how in recent memory, since the SEC West and SEC East were taken from us, RIP, Auburn's football schedule, top to bottom, by default, had to get easier, and it has been easier. Problem is, Auburn as a program hasn't been able to take advantage of that. They have a chance to do that this year. And so the question that you have proposed is, which games on this schedule, when you look at this top to bottom, are flat out, no doubt about it, 100% unacceptable to lose if you're Hugh Freeze and the Auburn Tigers? Which ones is just not okay anymore for this Auburn team to lose in 2025?
We're going to stick with Power Four because I'm not going to sit here and make the argument to you that Auburn has to beat Ball State and South Alabama. I'm not going to sit here and waste your time about that.
It's unacceptable to lose those games.
That does answer the question. So, yes, okay, Ball State and South Alabama, that is unacceptable.
And Mercer.
To lose. Mercer also in that conversation as well. If that's three right there, I'm adding three more onto the list, and they're all in order.
Yep.
All three of them are in order, and it's right after that Missouri game. And that Missouri game is kind of right on the fence for a game that I think is unacceptable to lose. It was unacceptable to lose at Missouri last year, especially based off of how everything was going. But Arkansas, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt, those three games right there again, and those are in order. That's October 25th, November 1st, and November 8th. You are on the road at Fayetteville, you are back home for Kentucky, and you are back on the road, essentially at home, hopefully in Nashville, taking on Diego Pavia, Clark Lee, and the Vanderbilt Commodores. Those three games for the Auburn Tigers, and again, I'll throw Missouri on the fence for that game, but I'll leave them out just from the standpoint of it should be a very, very good game. Those three games right there, that puts you at three wins. Mercer, Ball State, South Alabama, right there is six. And then you do anything against Baylor, Texas A&M, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Georgia, and Alabama. Everything is right there in front of you.
So for you, that gives Auburn six wins. That puts Auburn in a bowl game.
That's all that we need, right? You got to make a bowl game.
That automatically is considered, technically, on paper, an improvement from last year. But we've discussed...
I would consider just that right there an improvement because it shows that you can beat teams that you should beat.
Teams you should have beat last year.
Correct.
Teams that Auburn should always beat.
Yes, and that's not me saying, oh, yeah, you win those games and, you know, there's my applaud. But that would at least show some sort of step in the right direction when you're not looking at if those are the only six wins.
Right.
But getting those six shows you, okay, you can go on the road and beat a team you're supposed to beat in Arkansas at 11 a.m. You can go to Nashville where it's going to be 60-40 Auburn anyways and go and defeat a kid that you have yet to do. When a team that is so much more talented, that shows you could get over that little bit of hump right there.
But I'll just be completely honest, and this might just be me being a negative Nancy, and that's whatever, I'll accept and I'll wear that. I'm not going to celebrate Hugh Freeze and Auburn beating Arkansas, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt.
No.
I'm not putting you on a pedestal for that.
No.
The history of Auburn football, you're better than those teams.
And that's why it goes under the category of unacceptable.
Correct.
Rather than what would be a good win for Auburn.
Now, I will say, in the scenario, right, let's say Auburn's 4-2 when Missouri comes to town. My math adds up there, right? Yep, 4-2. You beat Missouri, you're 5-2. You will celebrate winning another game against Arkansas, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt because you're getting oh so closer to being a true threat to make the college football playoff. Winning the game itself, absolutely.
Yeah, I'll celebrate a 5-game win streak.
But I'm not going to say, good job, Hugh. Way to go, pal. You beat Kentucky. Rock on. No, I'm not giving you that. Because Auburn's better than that, right? So I'm going to add onto your list of the three non-conference cupcake games in Arkansas, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt. And this is not a new take from me. This is one I've hit on all summer long. And as we get closer, as we are now 2 weeks away from the kickoff of this particular game, I'm sorry. I don't care that it's a Friday night. I don't care that it's on the road. And I don't care that Baylor is considered a Big 12 title contender. It is unacceptable, in my opinion, for Auburn to go on the road and lose that game. It's unacceptable for Auburn to go on the road and look bad in this game. It is unacceptable, in my opinion, for Auburn to embarrass themselves like they did the last time they went on the road to a P4 team at a conference. You can't do that. If you can't get up and get ready for this game, then you may as well go ahead and pack your bags. I'm putting the Baylor game as unacceptable in my book for Auburn to lose in 2025.
Would you go as far as well to say that it is unacceptable? Obviously, this is not a singular game, but would you say that it is unacceptable to go 0-3 against Oklahoma, Texas A&M, and Georgia?
I think that's a fireable offense.
Even though two of them are on the road, your three straight top 25 teams could be three straight top 20 games. After starting 3-0, even does a win against Baylor give you a buffer in those three games? I would agree with you if I think Auburn goes out, lays an egg against Baylor. Obviously, you come back and win the two non-conference, you know, cupcake games, but then go 0-3. I think that's when it becomes you have a legitimate conversation.
Yeah, because if you lose to Baylor, Oklahoma, and Texas A&M, ain't no way in hell you're beating Georgia. So all of a sudden you're 2-4 with Missouri coming to town? You're going to have 50,000 people at Jordan-Hare. Half of them are going to be outside with picket signs telling Hugh Freeze to get out of town. It's over at that point. It's over. The season is over. Hugh Freeze is over. And you got to start over from the beginning. He won't see the Arkansas game. Missouri would be his last game. He'd be done. He'd be gone.
But if Auburn goes to Baylor, takes care of business, like what you're saying, the unacceptable game to lose, what does that three-game stretch look like? You need one? Is that reasonable?
Yes. Yes.
At Oklahoma, at Texas A&M, and back home against Georgia.
You get one of those.
I agree.
One win. Right? I'll give you two losses. That's how important the Baylor game is to me.
Yeah. Unacceptable for Baylor, unacceptable for the 0-3 stretch, and it's unacceptable to lose to Arkansas, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt.
That's not too much to ask.
You know what happens if you do that? You're 8-4. At worst.
I know there are fans that wouldn't be happy with it, and if you go 8-4 but losing to both of your biggest rivals again, there will still be people who are doubting you. I get that, but there are certain games on this schedule that I'm just tired of watching Auburn lose year after year. And the games that we just talked about are those, in my opinion.
It's a crazy thought. A crazy thought of 8 wins, not including what could happen against Missouri, what could happen against Georgia, again, Texas A&M, or Oklahoma if you steal two of those, and then Alabama. If you do that right there, you beat Missouri, it's a 9-win football team.
It's not that hard, man. Going up against teams that historically you're just better than. Somebody did text in the text box, and they were asking a question. I was confirming it and was getting to it. Auburn and Vanderbilt's all-time football series history, all-time record, it's tied. 22 apiece, Auburn and Vanderbilt with a tie in there as well. So there you go. There's a fun fact for you.
So maybe historically –
Auburn's not better than Vanderbilt. Just kidding. Stop. Okay. All right, we got to take our first break here in hour number one. It's Free for All Friday. Shoot us a text in the On the Line text 784-1067 or give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. We're back after this here on ESPN 1067.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we are back here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line, and a guy that is very familiar with Free For All Friday. You heard him earlier today on Doug's show. You're going to hear him periodically throughout the football season on our show, and he's on Game Day on Wings every Saturday morning over on Wings 94.3. It's our man, Uncle T-Bone. Did we get you fired up on this rainy Friday?
I mean, dang, Jacob, Free For All Friday on steroids. Let it rip, brother man.
Yes, sir. You know we don't hold nothing back on this show.
Not the show that tells it like it is and holds nothing back. Jacob Goins calling for a loser-leave-town suitcase match in Waco, Texas, two Fridays from now.
I'm all on that train, and it's not just for entertainment or for show. I truly believe it. Because, Uncle T-Bone, let me ask you this. If Auburn can't go on the road and beat Baylor, do you have confidence in them to go on the road and beat Oklahoma?
No.
What about Texas A&M?
Negative.
What about beat Georgia at home?
That's a negative, Ghost Rider.
So then tell me why it shouldn't be win or go home in game one against Baylor that you've had all summer long to prepare for, right?
Win or die is what I've been saying, and I'm with you. I heard a couple other people locally lately trying to downplay the significance of this football game. And I don't even just think it's for Hugh Freeze's career at Auburn for this season. I think it's just for the overall health and well-being of the Auburn football program. It is time to serve notice to college football that the Auburn Tigers will not be your punching bag anymore.
I mean, I'll just be honest. It's for my ego, for Auburn fans' egos. Like, this game has nothing to do with it being Baylor. It's just the fact, can Auburn get up for a game in the opener where all the odds are against you and go and take care of business and beat a football team that I genuinely think that you are more talented than and could be better than by the end of the season. That's all it is for me.
Oh, they're way more talented than Baylor. So, I mean, Baylor has put together a decent 22 with a solid starting quarterback who's put up gaudy numbers against bad defenses, by the way. And this defense for Auburn's a top 60 defense, and he's only got one win out there starting quarterback over a top 60 defense since he's been at Baylor. So this DJ Durkin defense doesn't give up big plays this year. It's going to be one of the top defenses in the country and very nasty. But across the board, 3D, Auburn is so superior talent-wise to Baylor, who has legitimately had to go into the transfer portal to rebuild their entire defensive side of the ball this season. There's no excuse. There's zero excuse talent-wise for Auburn to lose this football game. For them to lose this game, they would have to be ill-prepared and not amped up and ready to rock and roll and go out there and whip the Baylor Bears, which I think they're going to do. And that would all be on the head coach.
T-Bone, it's a question that we spent a lot of time talking about yesterday. This is the most important Auburn game since when, in your opinion? No, I'm throwing it to you rather quickly. We came up with, again, the Washington opener in 18, the Oregon opener in 19, just because of the trajectory. But still, you still don't feel like even those games have everything on the line that this game does here in 2 weeks in Waco.
Man, that is a great question. I mean, obviously to me in my lifetime, the most important game Auburn's ever played was the BCS National Championship
Sure.
against Oregon, and then the one against Florida State. But somehow, some way, you got to get to those moments. I don't know if I can answer that question. I'm going to have to really think about that and get back to you guys.
Well, it's, I mean, but it's again, so
again, again, that goes to show you what's on this game from the standpoint of coaching, from the standpoint of getting off on the right foot,
just
from the
vibes,
standpoint of being able to show that Auburn can go on the road and feel confident and win. I mean, so much goes into this.
I'll tell you this. I can answer that it's way more important than either that Washington or Oregon game.
I'll give you that. Yeah.
I mean, so you're going to have to go back to honestly, the home opener of Gus Malzahn to me against the Pirate in Washington State is kind of equivalency.
Sure.
Although I think that Auburn was, because of the way the 2012 season and the end of Gene Chizik went, just the disaster that it was, right? And so, but people they had zero clue what to expect from Gus Malzahn in his very first game, and that proved to be a solid opening win over a Power Four team, overcoming a season before that was terrible. Auburn's been so bad for so long that this game's even way more important than that. Not to mention, this team has way more talent than that 13 team. This team, in my opinion, has as much. I have not seen this much talent at Auburn since 2004.
Boom. Uncle T, we're heading to break, my man. I'm glad we could smoke you out on this Free For All Friday.
Talk soon, guys. War Eagle.
Uncle T-Bone getting fired up on this Free For All Friday. Appreciate him calling in. Great friend of the show. And, of course, a great sponsor with Cincy Green Heating and Air. We're 30 minutes in to hour number one. Come on in. Be a part of it. 334-321-1390. Or you can shoot us a text in our show text box at 334-784-1067. What about some playoff projections or maybe just a bowl projection too? We got that coming up next.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. A reminder, phone lines are open all show long here this afternoon, 334-321-1390. Or you could shoot us a text in our On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. And we get into some bowl projections because Christian, while we may be 2 weeks away from Auburn University football starting, we're a week away from college football starting. Week zero is next Saturday, okay? We have college football a week from tomorrow. So after you and I are just exhausted on a Saturday morning after calling our first high school football game, we get to sit down, turn on the TV, turn on the radio, and take in college football for the first time this season.
Man.
I think getting older, really, time does go by faster. Not that we are old by any means, but, man, it really does go by faster. This year of my life has gone by faster than any other in my lifetime. Literally, I truly feel that way.
I would agree. And, again, not to sound so old, but, yeah, it's like the first year out of college, and now you're sitting there, life just continues to fly. But a week until, or a week and a day until college football gets started over in Dublin, Ireland. We saw a video yesterday of some of the buses, the equipment buses, already getting on and starting to send all their stuff over across the seas.
And so so we get into some of these bowl projections, playoff projections and things that ESPN put together. And so these are just people's opinions, right? I think some of their staff got together. Mark Schlabaugh was on this crew as well. And there's a lot of obvious choices in here, but there's a couple of them where it's like, oh, all right, that's kind of interesting. I say we start with the playoffs, and then we'll move into some of just the bowl game highlights. Of course, talk about where or if they have Auburn in there things like that.
Talk about the playoff and the importance of that elsewhere, and then talk about the importance of, you know, just a bowl game for Auburn.
I mean, I think it's really important, really. Yeah. I mean, playoffs. Who needs the playoffs, right? Okay, so Looks like this was Mark Schlabaugh and Kyle Bonagura. I hope I said that properly. So two senior analysts of college football at ESPN. Here's what they had to say. For the college football playoff, 12 through 7, or 12 through 5, sorry, teams that will play in the first round of the playoff.
Yeah, this little list right here is all of the on-campus games.
Shoot us your texts, by the way, of your playoff projections right now. If you had to make picks on who you think will make the college football playoff, hit us up there, 784-1067. Both of them have Boise State as the 12 seed, Georgia as a 5 seed, and Ohio State as the 5 seed. One of them has Miami as the 11 seed, Arizona State as an 11 seed. One of them taking on Notre Dame as the 6th seed and Alabama as the 6th seed. One of them has Arizona State as the 10th seed, taking on Alabama as the 7th seed. LSU as the 10th seed, taking on Notre Dame as the 7th seed. LSU as the 9, taking on Oregon at the 8. Miami at the 9, taking on Oregon at the 8. So both of these guys, for the most part, have the same group of teams making the playoff. It just depends on where they have them slated to go.
Only one of them has Georgia as a 5 seed. The other one, again, I guess, spoiling it, has them as the 4 seed, where they're not playing in this type of on-campus game. But yeah, relatively the exact same teams, but just kind of mixing and matching based off of the just the seeding now with the overall rankings for the college football playoff. Again, for those that are unaware, making that change of there are no more pick and choose, automatic bids, automatic buys. It is straight seeding now for this college football playoff.
Yeah, and so you look at this group of teams, and this is the popular pick across the board. Boise State is the group of 5, Miami out of the ACC, Arizona State out of the Big 12, LSU is that third or fourth team out of the SEC, Notre Dame because they're Notre Dame, right? Oregon, Alabama kind of being those few teams out of the Big 10, not at the top, right? Is there a team in college football right now, and I'm just going to throw this on you, Christian, we didn't talk about this, but who is a non-popular pick to make it to the college football playoff? Not in terms of the top 4 seeds. Those, you can guess who those are, okay? You can guess Texas, Clemson, Penn State, and the vice versa of Ohio State and Georgia if you don't have them somewhere else, okay? It seems to be pretty chalk right now, and there's not a whole lot, and that's what I don't like about this list, just being 100% honest with you. There's nothing different about it. Everybody you see and hear and read seems to all have the same combination of picks to make the college football playoff, and I think I know one of your answers, but who are some of these teams that could shake this thing up? Because let's just be real. It ain't going to look just like this. There will be a team that overperforms and a team that underperforms. I continue to say Miami's the team to underperform for me. I'm not sold on Arizona State to go back-to-back college football playoff appearances. And LSU is up there for me. Notre Dame is up there for me. Alabama is up there for me as a team that I'm not ready to put my full trust in them as making the college football playoff this year. That's just my opinion. So teams, in your opinion, that if those teams don't work out, like I said, teams that could take their spot.
If there's a team right now that I would say is not the popular pick to, again, to make the college football playoff, if there's a couple teams that miss it, it's because of one of these teams. My first thoughts, and man, this could backfire. This could very much turn into, man, how dare you go against history? But it's the Texas A&M Aggies. I think Texas A&M, okay, with them playing Notre Dame, with them playing Auburn, with them playing Florida, playing LSU, playing South Carolina, playing Texas, you can split those games. If Notre Dame walks in at home and falls to the Aggies, all of a sudden, if Notre Dame's out, it could be a team like Texas A&M that has that quality win. Or if they're able to bookend that with Texas, who's also projected to be in this conversation. If there's a team like that that misses out, what could Texas A&M and LSU mean for the college football playoff on October 25th? If A&M can find a way to go and win that one, a team like Texas A&M, although might be 9-3, might not be in the college football playoff, could be one of the louder teams for some of these other teams missing that 12-team playoff.
I mean, Texas A&M for so long has been the running joke of the SEC in college football, not because they're 3-9 all the time. It's because they're underperforming and underwhelming every single year. So, I mean, I'm with you. It's like, man, at what point do they finally break through? And I'll be the one to say it. Talking with our buddies at Texags there in College Station, David Nuno and those guys, I'll be the one to say it. When Texas A&M does finally figure it out, and whether that's with Mike Elko or John Gruden or whoever the heck the new coach is going to be, or the coach will be, when they do figure it out and find that guy, watch out.
They're going to be scary.
Because Texas A&M will come back and say, all those years you poked fun at us, all those years you were making fun of us and talking bad about us and laughing in our face, I have a feeling the college football world could end up paying for it. It's just so wild to me that they've yet to find who that guy is. Mike Elko could be it. I don't personally think so, but he could be. And when they do, watch out. And maybe it is in 2025. Maybe Texas A&M is that team this year. Maybe this is their year. Maybe Texas A&M is really back this year.
I'll go to one more as well before you go, and you have to answer the question too if you're throwing it on me.
Fair.
But I'm staying in the States. I'm going to say the Texas Tech Red Raiders.
Yeah.
I think that's
you're
a team.
You're going there already this year.
I'm not saying they are, but it could be a very okay. It could be one of those dark horse teams simply A, because Lord knows what the Big 12 is going to do this year. When you're looking at their schedule, I think it's relatively favorable. I think the toughest game that you have to play this year is at Kansas State, just because of Avery Johnson and what the Wildcats have done. But I think their home slate is favorable with Oregon State. You do have to go to Utah, but then you have Kansas at home. You go to Arizona State. I think that, I guess those 2 weeks are going to be relatively tough, but Oklahoma State's at home, BYU's at home, UCF is at home, and then you go to West Virginia for your final game of the season. And if you've heard, we've heard so much about what they've done in the portal. You've seen what they're already starting to do with the high school recruits
unbelievable.
As well.
Yeah,
and
unbelievable.
So the biggest thing, I remember seeing it a while ago. I don't remember exactly who it was, but it said you can't win the lottery if you don't buy a ticket. And I feel like that right now is where the Texas Tech Red Raiders stand.
It's a really good analogy. Yeah, that's a really good description of what Texas Tech is trying to do.
It goes to show you what college football is all about, baby, just like the good Lord intended.
I don't love it. I don't like it, but it's just a fact. Texas Tech could be that team. I just don't know if I'm ready to go there this year or whether it's the start of next year.
It's more of
a sleeping giant.
I feel like 3 years from now there could be, or even 2 years from now there could be that legitimate conversation, but for the sake of this argument, I'll jump up 1 year from my comfort level.
I figured you were going to go with the one you've been on all summer long, South Carolina. Yeah. I figured you were going to go that route because I do think that could be a team that makes it happen. Nobody's truly predicting South Carolina. And that's my problem again with these lists of these college football playoff projections. And maybe we'll do our own or something next week or week one. But it's like nobody's taking chances here. Arizona State's a preseason top 11. They're the 11th ranked team in the country. The only chance they're taking is Boise State, and that's because it has to happen. Like, they have to make it, basically,
yeah.
Right? Unless they're 8-4. But nobody's taking a chance to put Kansas State in their college football playoff. Nobody's taking a chance to put Indiana back in the college football playoff, a team that I think is just as talented, if not better, than what they were last year. Nobody's banking on Tennessee to go back-to-back, or God forbid we look at a team outside the top 25, Auburn, and to make the college football playoff. And I get it, their predictions, you want them to be right, but how often does quote-unquote chalk work? How often does chalk actually come to fruition? Not often. And typically, when everybody in the sport or everybody in the business is picking the same group of teams, those are the years in college football, or college athletics for that matter, where we see just craziness go down. So I'm not willing to say that the popular picks are all going to hit, like an Arizona State, like an LSU, like a Miami. Man, everybody would just be doomed if Oregon comes out to be an 8-4 football team this year. Everybody's playoff predictions, everybody's, quote, playoff brackets would be toast because one team like Oregon decides to disappoint. This is still college football, and anything can happen. We'll take a break, come back, wrap up hour number one. Again, phone lines are open. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. We talk about our old buddy Lane Kiffin, who apparently has nothing better to do during fall camp than sit around on social media. We'll talk about that and wrap up hour number one after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
All right, wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7 as we are just a couple of minutes away. We'll get started in hour number two here momentarily, take our top of the hour break, and we will continue talking college football. There's an SEC betting guide that we're going to get to. Also, Baylor continuing to add a little bit more hype to this matchup with their uniforms. And, man, we're going to have, for the nerds like us out there, the uniform combo and the uniform matchup in week one is going to be awesome. So we'll get to talk about that. And then we're also going to talk a little golf in hour number two because the BMW Championship going on right now, the next leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs. Yeah. And our boy Scotty is still hanging around like he always does after somebody shot a 62 yesterday. We'll tell you about that and the hot start he got off to on this Friday afternoon as well. So that's all coming up in hour number two.
Yeah, but we can't let the first hour go by. And I know we have some Lane Kiffin information in there as well, but we told you about some of the college football playoff conversations and actually had a really good conversation. Went off a little bit the way that we were planning on going, but where is Auburn projected in these two bowl games and or in these bowl predictions? And I'm sure that they're going to make you very, very happy. Jacob, have you seen where Auburn is at quite yet?
Oh, yeah.
The first one, Bonagura, has Auburn scheduled to play Boston College in the Gasparilla Bowl in Tampa, Florida.
Woo.
Before we get to that, thoughts on that one? Sure. Yep, exactly. well, the thoughts are about to get a whole lot better because the other one has Auburn, once again, playing Boston College in Protective Stadium in the Birmingham Bowl in Birmingham, Alabama.
I mean, does Auburn have like a its own locker room in Birmingham?
I think there's like a home and home deal, but we just keep finding a way to go there.
I think they just split with UAB and their new football facility that Auburn gets to use it every time they get to come up there. Like, what a joke. But at the same time, as we've talked about, what has Auburn done or proven for people outside of Auburn to give them any more credit? I mean, you want to know how down bad this program is? The national college football writers and media representatives, this is what they think of you, Auburn. This is what the national perspective of Auburn football is in 2025. The Birmingham Bowl.
And the 11th ranked team in the SEC. Or rated team, I should say.
How does that make you feel, Auburn fans? How does that make you feel that 2 weeks out from the start of the season, the entire country, their expectations for you is the Birmingham
Bowl. Is to travel an hour and a half.
And stay in the beautiful city of Birmingham, Bammerham, as Uncle T-Bone would call it. That's what the national perspective is of Auburn football. You're not even good enough to get out of the Birmingham Bowl.
Yeah, you're not good enough to get out of state.
I'm tired. The amount of times I've had to watch Auburn play the Birmingham Bowl in my lifetime is way too many.
Boston College would outnumber Auburn fans at the Birmingham Bowl.
Because Boston College is happy about the Birmingham Bowl because that's a fan base that doesn't care That's a fan base that's just happy to be there.
Yeah. Oh, look, we get to travel down to Alabama.
Cool. Hop on the plane. Let's see what's there. There's Topgolf in Birmingham. Go swing a golf club and drink a beer. But this is what the national perspective of Auburn football as a program is. This is years of just embarrassment and underperforming from Gus Malzahn, Brian Harsin, and the first 2 years of Hugh Freeze. All packed in a pretty little package called the Birmingham Bowl on a Monday afternoon on December 29th. People are working. They don't even care. They don't even know it's on.
Bowl season used to be everything, and it was fantastic because you could wake up and watch bowl games from December 16th all the way to New Year's. But the earlier you're watching your team play, the less that you feel like you care every single time. Some of these other teams, they have Louisville and South Carolina. Also, one of them has Duke in Florida to play in the Duke's Mayo Bowl, which is turned into a pretty good game. They also have Baylor and Oklahoma playing in the Liberty Bowl on Friday, January 2nd. And so some of these teams are projected to do pretty well. You even have Michigan and Tennessee in the Cheez-It Bowl, Illinois and Texas A&M, one of those predictions as well. Indiana to play Ole Miss in the ReliaQuest Bowl. But no, you have to keep on scrolling and you get to see a really fun game in Birmingham.
That's just terrible. But you can't be mad. Can't be mad.
That's the expectation, right? We're not naive.
No. I mean, for some, that's fine. You get to travel. Some of these kids could stay at their parents' house by playing in the Birmingham Bowl. They could go see their old high school. They could go watch a basketball game. There will be more Auburn fans in Birmingham when they play Houston than they would for a Birmingham Bowl appearance. What a joke. What an embarrassment. Hey, Auburn, fix this. Fix this. You have a chance to do that. Hour number one's in the book. Stick around. We got a whole lot more coming up in hour number two. Don't you dare turn that radio dial.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us on this now not rainy Friday afternoon. And by looking outside, I can imagine it's now even more muggy and humid than it was this morning before the thunderstorm rolled through this afternoon. But hope you're doing well. We appreciate you being with us as we are 60 minutes down and 60 minutes to go here on ESPN 106.7. And shout out to those of you streaming us on ESPNAU.com and the Radio Alabama app as well. If you missed any of our number one, we talked about Auburn having only four top 25 games on the schedule as of right now. Could that number change? Who could be a top 25 team by the time the Tigers play? And which games are unacceptable to lose for the Tigers this year? Plus a couple of phone calls, couple of text messages. And also looked at some college football playoff projections and kind of picked them apart a little bit, to be honest with you. So that was all in hour number one. Again, if you missed it, you can always go back and listen to the podcast version of our show each and every day, wherever you get your podcast, or on our station website in the podcast center at ESPNAU.com.
Here in hour number two, we're going to talk about the SEC betting guide that's on the ESPN website. It has their win total projections, the over-under projections. It has their odds to make a conference championship, to make the playoffs, and to win the college football playoff national championship. Also going to talk a little bit of Michigan news here in just a moment as well. We're going to talk about it in hour number one, but getting it moved to hour number two. Also going to talk about the uniform matchup that's going to be taking place in Waco. Again, might not mean everything to some people, but for the younger guys like us and for the uniform football nerds, it's going to be absolutely incredible. All of that before we talk about the BMW Championship, the FedEx Cup playoffs, as well as some golfers are making their way up the standings this weekend, making their way up the standings for the playoffs and trying to secure their name in the Ryder Cup as well. Who are some of those names? Who should you look out for this weekend? All of that coming up here in hour number two. And we appreciate everybody for being here with us on ESPN 106.7. He's Jacob Goins. I'm Christian Griffin inside the studio. And before we get with anything that we have on our scheduling programming, we'll work our way back to what we had a few moments ago. Just a quick thoughts, the quick hitters on Michigan, who has been really harmfully and brutally punished for all of their sign-stealing investigation things. I mean, you just hope that that program's going to be able to recover.
I mean, hopefully they're going to have like a charity golf tournament or something to where they can raise the the $30 million that they're going to have to pay to the NCAA, where they get a series of fines that could eclipse $30 million, according to the reports. They also have to they're going to be on probation, kind of,
but not in the postseason.
But not in the postseason,
yeah.
No.
And Sherrone Moore will receive an additional one-game suspension on top of the self-imposed two-game suspension for week three and week four. I didn't even realize that. I thought it was the first two games of the season, which is why we talked about how big of a game that's going to be for Michigan and Texas to not play. But no, it's week three and four that he's missing,
which is Central Michigan and Nebraska.
And now what's game five?
The game five will be, well, it'll actually be the 2026 season opener that he'll miss.
Okay.
They won't even be in a row. That'll be against Western Michigan.
Man, I'm so sorry. If there's Michigan fans, Jacob, I know that you're involved in that crowd.
Diehard, actually.
Yeah. There are a lot of diehard fans or diehard teams that you have. You bleed Penn State, you bleed Ohio State, you bleed Michigan.
I'm a Big Ten guy at heart.
Sure, yeah. That's very fair. Big Ten football, Big East basketball. That's just where your love lies. Again, yeah, they're expected to face a $20 million+ fine in postseason football revenue. Is there any team in the entire country that wouldn't take this? Would you? Every fan base in America would take their team to win a national championship if it meant, oh, Hugh Freeze is going to have to miss South Alabama and Ball State next year. Darn. And then you're going to have to miss the season opener here in a couple of years because we're going to get rid of all of the home and homes with the good teams anyways. So we're just going to ban you for whatever game that we want. You might have to pay a little bit of money as well, but you know, but you're going to have a national championship in there as well.
It was worth it.
Yes.
It was literally worth it for Michigan to say, you know what? Yeah, you're right. You caught us. We cheated. Sorry. But we won a national title. Absolutely, you take
this.
The
same thing with the Astros, is it not?
Are you
at least halfway comparable?
Yeah.
Of, man, give me your wrist. Hold on. You ready? Ready?
Bad.
One more.
No. You didn't even rub the dog's nose in it. You just told him it was bad and moved on.
3 years later.
Which I will say,
not three, but
I will say, I agree with a lot of people, and Peter Burns had a good thing about this on social media. I like the fact that, I cannot believe I'm about to say this. I actually like what the NCAA did here in terms of not punishing this head coach and these
the players.
Players and giving them a postseason ban.
Yes, because
they had nothing to do
to do with it. And well, the players more so than anything else. But yes, from the standpoint of there were kids that were juniors in high school when this happened. And so what would be the benefit of saying, I know that you're now a freshman in college, but if you go 10-2, we're not going to allow you to play postseason ball because of some things that happened when you were not a player.
Your comparison of the Astros World Series championship is spot on, because what do people say when you look back at the past 10 World Series champions and you look at that Astros team in particular? Everybody says, yeah, but they cheated. Okay, cool. Guess what? The banner's still there. They still wear the rings, and they're still in the history books. That's exactly what happened right here with Michigan. It's the exact same thing. We'll look back forever on the history of college football and say, oh, yeah, Michigan won the national title that year. Oh, yeah, but they cheated and admitted to it. Okay, cool. They're still national champions. So that's a great comparison. My problem here is, does this now, in your opinion, or in anybody else's opinions, you could give us a call, 334-321-1390.
I know where you're going.
Does that not encourage this type of behavior moving forward? Does that not encourage Miami to say, you know what? We're tired of sucking. We're tired of being right there but can't get over the hump. Let's do what we got to do. We'll deal.
Yeah, well, let's break the revenue sharing cap.
Right.
Let's do what we need to do. And instead of the $20 million, let's go guarantee our guys $40 million, and then in 3 years when everybody finds out, oh no, sorry, you like that ACC championship banner, you like that playoff appearance in that national championship, the one that brought us way more than $20 million, sure, we'll give that back to you.
I mean, just ask an Auburn fan, and I hate to go this route, but it is what it is. Would you rather have a dirtied national championship or no championship at all?
Especially when, again, obviously, we're looking at it from the south, looking up to the north in Michigan. I don't go every day despising Michigan because of everything
I don't care
that happened. I don't care. I don't think about it. So why not?
Why not? But the problem is, then you get into that. It's like, okay, well, what do you do?
Oh, well, if Auburn did it, there'd be a 14-year suspension of the football team.
Oh, they'd burn down Jordan-Hare Stadium.
Yeah.
The NCAA would light it on fire themselves.
Yes.
But that's the proposal, is would you, if you only have two options of no national title or a national title with an asterisk next to it, which one do you choose? I hate to say which one I choose. And Michigan was in that boat. Michigan was a football program that had not won in quite some time and had watched their rival win several times at Ohio State. And so I don't condone cheating. I don't condone breaking the rules and then coming out and admitting it because they got caught. There was no denying it at that point. They denied until it was like, okay, yeah, you got us. But
Harbaugh said from the Los Angeles Chargers, oh, no, you got me.
Yeah,
sorry.
Oh, no, you're going to punish me from coaching college football.
You're
going
to tell me that if I come back to college, I'm going to serve punishments? Darn.
I wonder what he'll choose.
I hate the fact that I'm making millions of dollars now coaching professionals.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know. And again, I've already moved on from all of this. I watched the Connor Stallions thing on Netflix. Is that where it was?
I think the
documentary. And I got done with it, and I was like,
okay.
All right, cool. You cheated. You got caught. Boom. And we've been waiting on this, but not sitting on pins and needles.
No.
We saw the announcement this morning of, hey, Michigan's punishment's coming out today. It was like, all right, cool. Let's see what it is.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it today, and guess what? We'll never talk about it again.
We read it and said, oh, I mean, yeah, we'll touch on it. We'll bring it up. And again, that Netflix documentary, I mean, not that it made you understand everything or it brought any sort of emotional feel to it, but it goes to show you just the dark world of college football and how it happens with just about everybody. Michigan just took it that one step further, and obviously the video of Stallions on the opposing sideline for a game that Michigan was not even playing in was that one major step, but he talked all about it and how, yeah, look at these connections that I have, but yet I'm the one that's the scapegoat and gets the finger pointed. There's so much more that happens than what the average person or even what us see on the day-to-day.
So then why not give me the argument against taking that national title from them? Because that's what happened to USC. USC got their national title taken from them. They had their Heisman Trophy taken from them, Reggie Bush. They have since gotten it back.
I was about to say, initially.
Yeah, they have since gotten it back. But why would you not? If you really want to put a stop to this, and this is not the only illegal behavior that's been happening in rule breaking, the money under the table, McDonald's bags, whatever, right? Why not? What's the argument to not take away their national title that they clearly cheated to gain an advantage to get? I don't know. I don't know what that is. Other than you don't want to be too harsh. Right?
Well, if you're the NCAA, you can't befriend, or you can't get blocked by Michigan on social media, right? You still have to be good friends with them just because of, you know, we're the NCAA, and why would you punish anybody too hard?
This article says the NCAA committee said in its report that although Michigan's violations would make a multi-year postseason ban appropriate, it aimed not to punish current Wolverine athletes based on its constitution. Quote, the panel determines that a postseason ban would unfairly penalize student athletes for the actions of coaches and staff who are no longer associated with the Michigan football program. Thus, a more appropriate penalty is an offsetting financial penalty. When are we going to realize that for a Power Four football program, money doesn't mean anything? All they're giving, and Michigan doesn't stroke a $20 million check this afternoon. They just give away any of their postseason money. You make the college football playoff 1 year, you give all that revenue to the NCAA, and you move on. And we forget about this for the history of college.
And you took the smallest little chunk of what you made during that national championship run.
That's a great point too.
It's not sitting there. All of that money that you made during that national championship run, give all of that back. It's no, next time you essentially make it, we're going to take away your postseason funds and you're going to have to pay a little bit. And not saying that this is the number, but if Michigan made $100 million in revenue from clothing and from ticket sales and from TV rights and everything like that, and next time you make the playoff, you have to pay $20 million. Oh no, I hate the fact that I have a national championship banner hanging in Ann Arbor and an $80 million profit boost from it.
Just doesn't make sense to me why you wouldn't go all in if you're the NCAA. Since you already have lost every ounce of respect from anybody in the sport anyway, what's stopping you? What's stopping you from saying, you know what, Michigan? No. We're not going to put up with that. We are not going to allow that. We are going to send a message. But instead, you slapped him on the wrist. You said, bad Michigan, and you move on.
And I said, ow, and pretended to cry and then turned the corner and laughed.
Yeah, and smiled as you walked away.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, man. So, again, I don't care enough about Michigan or them winning the title for me to get fired up over it. It really is just the principle of it all. Because you didn't do anything if you're the NCAA. If anything, in my book as we get to break, I lost even more respect for the NCAA. Other than the fact that they didn't punish this current Michigan football team, which I think was the correct thing to do. Other than their head coach not being able to coach a couple of times, which, whatever. Again, Western Michigan or whoever it is, good job. They'll be fine. I like that they went that route, but paying a small fine and telling Jim Harbaugh he can't coach, or John Harbaugh, that you can't coach in college football. Oh, no. It's weak. It's weak.
Each playoff team received $3 million per round to cover expenses. That means, again, that by making the college football playoff national championship, each team that did accumulated over $20 million in prize money and provided with a further $12 million in expenses.
So you make the college football playoff this year, and it's just a free
and
write-off.
That's just that's including what the money is given to you to cover everything. That is not the Michigan sales from t-shirts and jerseys and the hats that say national champions.
Well, and your cut of the TV stuff.
Exactly.
TV and radio.
Exactly.
I mean, what a joke, man. Hey, whatever.
Next time you make the playoff, you're going to cover your own financial funds at the hotel.
Take that.
Boom.
Yeah. Good luck paying for that baked potato yourself, Michigan. What a joke, man. NCAA. Can this company fold yet? Can the NCAA just go away? Nobody wants you here. Nobody likes you. Go sit somewhere else. 334-321-1390. We're back after this, and I don't even know what we're talking about. Oh, week one uniform. I did get fired up over that more than I thought I would. Week one matchups.
But not about Michigan.
No, not. I don't care about Michigan.
Exactly.
I care about college football. Can't say that about the NCAA. We're talking week one uniform matchup after this because Auburn-Baylor, it's going to be awesome.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we got a great radio conversation coming up here. I mean, it's really
great,
perfect.
It is a great debrief for you, though.
Yeah, I really did get kind of...
He said, I'm not going to get fired up about this, but golly.
Yeah. That's what I tell myself when I go golfing, too. It's like, all right, we're going to have a good day. We're not going to get mad.
The scorecard is going to look good, and by hole five, you've had as many beverages as holes.
I drink a lot of cold water when I'm on
the
golf course.
Did you see the interview with the kid for the Little League World Series? And they were talking to him about his plan.
Never mind. I may have thought it did something different.
Oh, well, you can tell yours after. But they were asking him because they just finished up a night game and they had an early morning game the next day. And so they were asking the kid about his nickname. And, oh, gosh, I forgot exactly what it was, but they were basically like, okay, last question, what is your plan for tomorrow? I know that your team just played a really tough game. You don't have to wake up. And he said, yeah, we're just going to go back and go to the hotel and drink a couple of Gatorades. And the announcers in the studio had to turn off their mics because you could hear them start breaking up and start laughing. And then the lady that was interviewing him said, yep, nothing like pounding some Gatorades back after a long day.
That's incredible. Oh, that's really funny. No, I did not see that. I saw there was a picture of a kid holding a sign at the Little League World Series where he said, like, the sign said, like, baseball. It was like baseball over school because baseball is greater than school or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, it was, you know, but it was on purpose just being funny, but it was. But I need to look that video
up. There we go.
That's hilarious.
His last name is, like, Snooze or something, and so his interview is Snooze You Lose. That's what his nickname is. I'll have it for you. Oh, here, well,
that's funny. I mean, I believe you. It's funny though. I had not seen it. So we're gonna go back to the hotel room,
pound some Gatorades.
That is incredible. This kid's sign says school is important, but baseball is importanter.
Okay, here we go. Hold on. I have it on here.
Oh, gosh.
Again, great radio. And if you can't tell, this is Free For All Friday.
This is Free For All
to
Friday.
To a T right here, but this is it right here.
With your team tonight before you get ready for the next game.
We might go back to the hotel, drink a few Gatorades, and then go to bed.
Throw a few Gatorades back. Okay, awesome. And the last question, most importantly, Ravi and Todd have been throwing every kind of nickname at you tonight. Snooze control, snooze you lose, snooze button. Do you have a favorite nickname?
Snooze you lose. That's my.
There you go. Yeah.
Y'all heard it here first. Give it up for snooze you lose.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
Fantastic. Nothing like pounding some Gatorades back after
well-played
baseball game.
That's my Friday night plan, is throw back some Gatorades or cold snacks. As Uncle
I don't know how well that could hear. I don't know.
I heard it.
Hopefully it worked out well.
I don't know. I heard it. That's all that matters to me. Okay, so we're talking for a couple of minutes here about Auburn and Baylor again, but not in terms of the football game, not in terms of the implications and all those things, right? We're simply going full nerd for about 2 minutes on the uniform matchup that we are going to have in Waco, Texas, because Baylor has continued to roll out teasers and things, and now we truly know what Baylor's going to be wearing, and the combo of theirs versus Auburn Stormtroopers on the road is going to be awesome.
It is. It's going to be absolutely incredible. You haven't heard what face mask Auburn is rolling out to Waco.
Oh,
but,
boy.
Again, the Stormtroopers with the orange and the blue, it's one of the best-looking uniforms in college football. But Baylor, again, we've told you about the blackouts that the fan base and the student section is doing. We took that basically saying, okay, we're pretty sure that Baylor's going to be wearing their blackout uniforms, which aren't completely blackout, but I think it makes it look better. It's almost like a really dark charcoal gray, and then it has black accent to it, but it's that color on the tops and the bottoms, and they also have a black or, that charcoal gray helmets as well. But again, talking about the videos of the chrome domes being brought back to Baylor, that is now confirmed. They have pictures all over their social media about what they are going to wear. And so the Stormtrooper whites and the charcoal gray blacks with the chrome domes are going to look absolutely incredible if you are looking for an on-field aesthetic.
Yeah, it's that gold chrome helmet, kind of like what Notre Dame wears sometimes. Those like really reflective, just bright gold helmet.
But it matches the accent that's in Baylor and their gloves and the numbers on their all-black uniforms. It really does look really good.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things that we see right across college football where it doesn't give you, obviously, doesn't give you any on-field advantage, doesn't give you anything over the team you're playing. It's just something else that adds to the hype and the excitement for the Baylor fans, the Baylor players. And at the end of the day, Christian, is anybody worried about Baylor not being ready for this game, not showing up, not being prepared, not being fired up, and having to wake up in the first quarter? No. There's not a soul. And maybe the Baylor people are talking about it, but I seriously doubt it. I seriously doubt that Baylor fans are doubting whether they and Dave Aranda will have their team ready to go for this season opener. Problem is, Auburn fans are talking about that with Auburn. Will Auburn be ready? Will Auburn be prepared? Can Auburn overcome cool jerseys and blackout and road game on a Friday? Unfortunately, it's year three of the current regime, and we're still having to ask those questions. It's going to be cool, though. Uniforms will look sweet.
Hopefully the scoreboard does as well.
Moral victories, baby. War damn. We got 30 more minutes here on the free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. Talk a little golf. We're talking playoffs, baby. That's coming up next.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We got 30 more minutes here on the free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us. And talking golf here, because we haven't talked about it in a while, actually. It seems like probably the last major since we've really talked golf on the show, and figured it's a good free-for-all Friday topic since we're still waiting on true reports and things from Auburn football scrimmage that took place today since it wasn't open to the media. There's some people who claim to know what's happening there and some rumors and some things, but didn't feel that it was fully appropriate to talk about something that we didn't actually get to see and something that doesn't have true reporting on it just yet. And so the FedEx Cup playoffs are going on right now. And for those of you who are maybe a casual golf fan or aren't golf fans at all, this is the playoffs for the PGA Tour. This is literally the postseason of the golf world. Other than the four majors and then some of those signature events, every golfer on the PGA Tour has a points system. There's a point system that every golfer earns throughout the year based off of where you place in every single tournament, right? And it's called the FedEx Cup. And you accumulate these points, and then a certain amount of players make it to the FedEx Cup playoffs, right? You had, 75 guys who played last week in the first tournament then it's the top 50, right? So 25 get cut from that. It goes from 50 down to 30, and then the final 30 players remaining play a four-day tournament, and the winner takes home a buku amount of money. It's like 10, 12, 15 million, something like that. Forget what the purse is so far this year. And so this is the BMW Championship that's happening this week. This is the second leg of three that's taking place of the FedEx Cup playoffs. And you might be familiar with what has happened in the past where whoever leads at the end of the regular season with the most points in the FedEx Cup standings in that final event, they start at some ridiculous number like 20 under par. The second player starts at 18 under, then 16 under, 15 under, all the way down to like even par. And then they play a four-day tournament, and whoever's winning at the end obviously wins the FedEx Cup. And you and I have talked, we didn't like that. I was never a fan of the staggered start. I thought it basically knocked out 75% of the field before the tournament even started. And now, this year, they've done away with that. So the top 30 from this BMW this week will move on to the final tournament next week, but it won't be a staggered start. It'll be just your traditional golf tournament. And I like that, Christian. I don't like the staggered start.
I'm with you on that. I don't love the staggered start, but you wish that there was something. You wish there was something there to reward the full body of work rather than it being, okay, I came in, I barely made the top 30, I'm 28th, but I'm going back to my home state and I'm playing really, really good golf right now. And watch, I'm just going to climb up the leaderboard because everybody started at the exact same spot. Now, yes, it obviously comes down to, okay, well, in the World Series, it's the team that's playing the best. You don't get to get those free fastballs at 94 miles an hour down the middle, and I understand where that conversation comes from. But with the grueling season of the PGA, you wish there was almost some sort of something. Even if it wasn't a staggered start, but it was the top, you know, if there's 30 teams, it's 4 under, 2 under, even par. Something where you're able to break up the 10 teams or the 10 players, give some sort of advantage to the guys that played the most consistent golf for the entire year.
Well, it's funny that you say that because that's the conversation you and I have had and talking with our buddy Ben Taylor, who is a big golf guy and host of Auburn Opelika This Morning on News Talk WANI. That's what I told him. I was like, I don't like the staggered start, but you should be rewarded for being the number one player basically all season long. It's like winning a regular season conference title in basketball, right? You're the best team all season long. In this case, you're the best golfer all season long. You should be rewarded for that.
And basketball does by getting the one seed.
Correct. I forgot that the PGA Tour actually changed their tune on this. Scottie Scheffler got $10 million at the end of the regular season.
That was my next
for
question.
Being the number one player in the FedEx Cup standings. He will also get $5 million for being the number one seed after this week's BMW Championship. His lead was so significant, it doesn't matter what happens.
He went ahead and they went
He'll
ahead
still
and
be the number one player after this week heading into the final tournament, so he'll be the number one guy. He just won't have a head start on everybody else like he would in the past. So there is at least a financial stipend for this, which I like. I'm
fine with that then, as long as there is something.
Because he got $10 million for being the best golfer start to finish, basically.
It's at least something, and now you can go out and play that four-day golf tournament where it's just, all right, the best of the best go. You better fine-tune everything. They also have it to where, again, the total purse for the entire FedEx Cup playoffs is $100 million. The FedEx champion receives $10 million of that. But these first two events, the FedEx of St. Jude's, which was last week, and the BMW Championship this week, have a $20 million purse where the winner of that, even if you finish 28th of the total standings but make your way into the top 30 for this event, you still would win 3.6 if you win one of the first two tournaments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so Ben was also saying too,
and the final event, apologies, has a $40 million purse with the winner taking home $10
million. That's awesome. Well, Ben was saying in the past, the FedEx Cup final, the final tournament, you still kept up with the points, and you still had somebody who was first in the FedEx Cup race and third and fifth and tenth and whatever. He said there would be, and I guess don't really remember this, but there would basically be two trackers in that final tournament. The golf tournament and the FedEx Cup.
So it could be Scottie Scheffler finishes 10th in the final tournament, but is still so much further ahead than everybody. He's still the overall champion.
Right. Ricky Fowler could go because he's playing pretty good golf right now.
Yeah.
He could go in the past. He could have gone on to win the final actual tournament of the year. But based off the points and everything, Scottie Scheffler was still your FedEx Cup champion. So Ricky Fowler would be celebrated for winning the lone golf tournament. And then you turn around and say, but our true champion of the season is Scottie Scheffler. I don't hate that idea either.
I don't either.
Some people get confused and, sorry, I don't know, figure it out. It's not that hard.
I would hate to finish 17th in the total points, but still win the first tournament or win the last tournament, and you get to hand me my trophy. I get to walk off, and then you get to celebrate everybody else.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, I mean, whatever. It's like, and for somebody like Scottie Scheffler, who is so far ahead of the pack in terms of points, he is going to be not at a disadvantage next week, but he's not getting the advantage that he probably deserves, but he got paid for it. He's making $15 million. Just because.
Essentially to show face and play in these tournaments.
In the last week and this week. Plus the money he wins for playing in the golf tournament, and depending on where he places.
Which he's second right now, who is 5 under through 13. He's still 5 back because the lefty Robert McIntyre shot a 62, again only a par 70 this week, but a 62 and then a 64 so far in the first 2 days
Wild.
Of the tournament. So he's 14 under. Scottie Scheffler is at 9 under. I would tend to believe he'll be 10 or 11 come that day. Oberg shot 6 under today, so he's at 8 under. Hideki Matsuyama shot 6 under today as well. He's 7 under for the tournament. Michael Kim, Tommy Fleetwood right in there as well. Harry Hall, Sam Burns, Victor Hovland and Mav McNeely, and now Ricky Fowler, after a par on 11, works his way T10. He's 1 under today, 4 under on the tournament, and that's the conversation that I was going to have adding on to this while we have a minute or two. What would the world do just because Ricky Fowler is playing such good golf right now, hasn't gotten that win that he's been so desperately fighting for in such a long time, but you feel like you now see his name on the leaderboard over the past 4 or 5 tournaments relatively consistently. What would the golf world do if it was Ricky Fowler and, say, Jordan Spieth in the final pairing? Just two of the most loved guys in the game of golf that have gone through their success so early, then went through their struggles, and now you feel like are trying to work their way back up to the top of the race. What would the world do if those were two guys in that final pairing?
Unfortunately, I know you're just talking hypothetical. Jordan did get eliminated last weekend. Ricky barely made the cut. I think he may have been 49 or 50, and that's all that makes it is 50 this week. But, yeah, it would be great. I mean,
you feel like that would save the golf world. It would be like Tiger making his way back and playing Sunday at Augusta. Maybe not to that same level, but from the standpoint of every golfer that gives – any sort of careabouts towards the game of golf would sit down and watch that Sunday tournament just because of those two names right there.
And would be everybody would be okay with regardless anybody of who won.
Which now, it would be neither of them. Scottie would come from T6 and work his way up
Scottie
and win it.
Scottie would be 12 but back and would birdie 18 out of 18 holes. Yeah, I would love that. I would. And I think a lot of people who maybe are casual golf fans, maybe listening right now, you at least know who those guys are because of what they did when they were young. And it's crazy to think of, not that they're old, but how much older they are now to win. I mean, you got to think. Jordan Spieth's big run when he was dominating the game of golf, had one of the greatest individual seasons we've ever seen. We're pushing a decade on that. It's a decade ago.
Ricky's 36. You wouldn't think it.
Wow, 36. He's also been playing on the PGA Tour since he was 19 years old or something.
Yeah, back in his orange.
Long hair days. Yeah.
The motocross days.
What a talent, man. Not saying talent wasted, that's definitely not true, but a talent in golf that just never got there.
did early, but again, still had the not quite to what Jordan Spieth did when he was really young, but you saw the success, you saw the potential, and then had some injuries, had some swing changes, and have tried working their way back. You feel like the golf world is at such a better place when guys like that are on the leaderboard, at least making some sort of push. And again, Ricky Fowler right now, he is T10. Obviously 10 strokes back, but you'll take a top 10 finish going into the weekend where you're still playing really, really good golf and hope to make a little bit of noise.
You were talking earlier about the money that the PGA Tour is throwing around, and it's absolutely absurd to see what the dollar amounts are. Again, we just told you Scottie Scheffler made $15 million in 2 weeks just for showing up. Didn't even have to swing a golf club if he'd really – I mean, he could have just – picked up the ball and thrown it every time and DQ'd and still would have made the money that he did. $40 million is the total purse in that final tournament coming up next week. You mentioned $10 million to the winner. Look at what LIV did to the PGA Tour. Look at what LIV forced the PGA Tour to do. And even if you're not a golf fan, you know what we're talking about here. It's the idea that LIV came around, said, we don't care about standards. We don't care about tradition. We don't care about any of that crap. We're coming in. We're going to throw around ungodly amounts of money and try to get the biggest and best players and names in the world. And they did a pretty good job of swiping some guys from the PGA Tour and has caused the PGA Tour to raise their money up like this. It's wild to see what the PGA Tour had to do in response.
And just to show you how nice it would be able to be to be a professional golfer. You make the top 30, which I understand is very difficult to do and very stressful as well, but obviously you would push for a lot more, but you went out there and played the worst round of your life, but you were still made the top 30 and played in the FedEx Cup Championship. The last place winner wins $355,000. Obviously,
good.
It's not $10 million, but
yeah.
If you told me I could go out there, all right, man, you're one of the top 30. You could go out and shoot 113 every single round and walk away with $355,000. I'd love to see somebody do it just for fun one time.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, again, you got the BMW Championship going on this weekend. The final tournament of the FedEx Cup playoffs will be next weekend, which will round out the month of August. And then you're a month away from one of the greatest sporting events in the world, the Ryder Cup. Coming up on September 26th, 27th, 28th, it is in the United States. It's up in New York at Bethpage Black, and it's going to be awesome. Well, now and between the end of the regular, or I guess the end of the FedEx Cup playoffs and the start of the Ryder Cup, I forget the dates. I'd have to relook them up, but you're going to learn who the teams are. You have some automatic qualifiers, and then you have the captain's picks as well.
Yeah, well, you still have guys fighting for like the seventh and eighth place spots.
Yeah, in those automatic picks or those automatic bids. So, man, the Ryder Cup is so much fun. If you're not a golf fan, now is the time to start watching. Turn it on this weekend. Check it out this weekend and next. Then watch the Ryder Cup.
And again, the Ryder Cup is on that weekend that we've talked a lot about, September 27th and 28th of the same weekend of Georgia-Alabama, Penn State-Oregon, and then you have some really good NFL games, but that's that same weekend of what everybody has talked about being the best weekend of the fall of 2025.
Auburn's on the road to Texas A&M that weekend.
In the afternoon game, so yes. You don't have to worry about it.
Yep. Will be a lot of fun. All right, we got to take our final break here on the Friday edition of On the Line. We'll come back and wrap it all up here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We appreciate everybody being with us. Got a couple of minutes as we are wrapping up. And, yeah, this time next week, we will be, hint, hint, wink, wink, live on location somewhere. We'll tell you more about that on Monday. You'll be able to come out and hang out with us, get some cool giveaways, and check out a new store in town. We're going to be on location for the shows on Friday, a week from today on the 22nd. And then as soon as the show is over, you and I, sir, will be getting up and maybe not bolting, but we'll be going to our respective football stadiums this time next Friday.
We will be respectfully Irish goodbying a lot of people.
Yeah. We're going to say, all right, peace out, Girl Scout. We're heading out. And, yeah, really excited for that, man. It's been a fun show today. Been a fun week as well. If you've missed any of it, check it out, ESPNAU.com and the Podcast Center. Next week is really when the show ramps up in terms of guests and things. We've slowly started to work in our regulars again and going to add a couple of more to that rotation next week. And so now is the time for you to be locked in on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com. And if you don't have that Radio Alabama app yet, that's the best way to listen to us each and every day, okay? So have that. That's for ESPN. That's for WANI. That's for our high school coverage. I mean, that's the place you need to go for any and all of our information and entertainment. And so just kind of looking ahead to what the week holds. Monday will be a typical Monday, recapping the BMW, really starting to get into the fall practice nitty-gritty for Auburn and teams around the SEC. And then we'll have, again, a lot of great guests and things. And so we appreciate you all being with us. We don't talk much UFC on this show. They were supposed to have a big event this weekend. UFC 319 was supposed to be tomorrow night in Chicago. They've lost now three fights off of that card in the last 2 days. One of them today was because a guy missed weight. So out of the, and I don't know if that's three off the main card or just the whole card itself. Surely that's the whole card. But yeah, they've lost three scheduled fights in the last 48 hours of the UFC event happening in Chicago. So not good on that.
No, not good. Hopefully nobody's really looking forward to it.
Yeah. Final thoughts on this free-for-all Friday.
Oh, man. I think it's been a great day. We've gone a little bit all over the place. It's been exactly what you would think of in a true free-for-all fashion. Who would have thought that today the most that Jacob got worked up about was Michigan and the NCAA?
One was predictable. The other was not. I'll let you guess which one.
You got a little bit worked up about the Baylor game being unacceptable to lose, but
I stand on that.
I agree with you, but I don't know. Michigan and the NCAA, your true love at heart really
don't,
took
don't
over.
Don't come after my beloved Big Ten teams. Michigan was the one I was a fan of this week. Next week, maybe it'll be Northwestern. Maybe sure. It'll be Minnesota. Maybe it'll be Indiana. Maybe it'll be Rutgers. You just never know. Guess you'll have to tune in to find out. Have a great weekend, everybody. We are back on Monday, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.